Hey guys, welcome to the Potter's Minds podcast, the podcast where we talk about all things Harry Potter and Criminal Minds. If you have a love for the world of Harry Potter or the world of Criminal Minds, you are in the right place. Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast, or welcome back to the podcast, whichever it may be. My name is Jessica, and I am your host for the Potter's Minds podcast. I hope you all are doing amazing, and that you all have been doing amazing, and so far your summer has been great. I cannot believe it is already July 1st. It is just insane to me that the year is already half over. Like, it's just crazy. So today I want to do something different than just talk about either the books or the show Harry Potter and or Criminal Minds. I think what I want to do is I always see all these posts like on Facebook, mainly Harry Potter. There's not too many Criminal Minds ones. But I always see all these posts like on Facebook with different like Harry Potter, either like fan theories or headcanons that we've made up in the Harry Potter world, or things that we have just come to know after reading the books and watching the movies so many times in a row. And so I think I want to talk about that a little bit today. I think that'd be really interesting, and I think that might be the direction I take this podcast, where I will still go through and talk about the books and the show, but I'm also going to sprinkle in like fan theories and things like that, and maybe that should make it easier for me to be able to get the content I want out in regards to the episodes and the chapters of the books, because I won't feel like I'm rushing doing it. So there's tons of these. I have tons of these saved. You can find them everywhere. Pinterest, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, like literally everywhere. But also, I want you guys to send me voice messages. You can do it here in the Anchor app. Or if you don't want to do that, you can send it to me in a DM on Instagram to the Potter's Minds Instagram page. Send me a message to the Potter's Minds Facebook page. I will have those linked in the show notes below for you. And then we can really get a good like conversation going. So to start, I'm going to go and read you guys the first fan theory that we are going to discuss. And this one is really one that I'm like, yeah, that totally makes sense. And then I would love to know what you guys think about it as well. So this is one that I recently found, actually. And so it's on my Facebook. It's in the Potter's Minds Facebook page. And let me get into it. And you guys can hear the air conditioning running in the background. I'm so sorry. I'm sitting in my bedroom without the AC on, but the door is open, and so the AC in the living room keeps kicking on and off because I have it on the energy saver mode. So this is one that I found on Facebook, but it originated on Tumblr, and I don't know if this Tumblr is still around. I don't know how old this post is, but it looks like the Tumblr name is, I'm gonna spell this because I can't say it, it's LBIBLIOPHILE, so it's L Bibliophile, and so this is kind of her head canon theory thing, I guess. Just like Slughorn, Albus Dumbledore collects people. Only instead of focusing on those with influence, he looks for the outcast, the half-expelled giant, the young werewolf, the repentant Death Eater. So we have Hagrid, we have Remus, and we have Severus. He protects them and gives them a second chance. All he asks in return is their loyalty. And if on occasion he requests that they undertake a certain task, invoking their debt of gratitude, well, that is no more than he is owed. He once thought to add a certain disowned black to his collection, but quickly realized his mistake. Sirius is not an outcast, but a rebel. He knowingly chose his path and chooses what price he is willing to pay for it. He refuses to be used. And so Albus Dumbledore abandoned him. And then, And then somebody else commented who gave you the right. And then another person, Bonini, said, Dumbledore knows Sirius's loyalty lies with Harry instead of him, and he has no use for someone who is not willing to follow his orders without question. So, you know, this is something that we kind of see, you know, kind of throughout the books, where Severus blatantly says it, you know, in this, you know, when he is talking to Dumbledore, we see it in his memories, where he blatantly says, you have been raising Potter like a pig for slaughter this whole time. You've been leading him to his death this whole entire time. All these horrible, awful things that have happened to him from the time he was a baby, you basically knew were going to happen, and you were raising him to fulfill this prophecy from the time he was born. Because it's been brought up time and time again that Harry could have had a much better life if he lived with McGonagall, or he could have had a much better life even, you know, from 13 on, if Dumbledore knew after that point that it was Peter Pettigrew who told Voldemort where the Potters lived. It was Pettigrew who became their secret keeper. Sirius was like, no, I shouldn't be your secret keeper. Have someone else do it. Like, Sirius was supposed to be the secret keeper, but he wasn't. It was Pettigrew that was the secret keeper. And from the time that Harry and Hermione use that time turner, go back in time, save Buckbeak, therefore saving Sirius from the Dementors, they knew, Dumbledore knew that Pettigrew was alive and that Pettigrew was the one who sold the Potters out to Voldemort. They knew, he knew that it was not Sirius, and all it would have taken for him to say, because he's part of the council, you know, he wrote a lot of their laws, so all it would have taken for him to say would have been, we have new evidence that Sirius Black did not kill the Potters. Like, Lily and James Potter were not killed by Sirius Black. You know, he did not kill Peter Pettigrew. Like, that's all it would have taken. But no, he still had this whole prophecy playing in his mind where, you know, things have to work out a certain way. They have to work out the way Dumbledore wants to. And if you have to give your life for that to happen, oh, well, too bad. You know, that's just, it's all for the greater good is always the thing with him. It's always for the greater good, always for the greater good. Is it really for the greater good, Albus, or is it for your greater good? Which is something that, you know, we never see questioned in the books. It's always questioned if you read, like, fan fictions and stuff and these types of posts. Everybody always questions it. Everyone's like, was Dumbledore drawn to Tom Riddle because a sociopath recognized another sociopath? Is that the reason why he was drawn to him? Because he recognized something in him that he saw in himself, that seeking of power, needing to be great. Yes, Dumbledore might not have been innately evil, but he was always seeking power, trying to get power somehow in some way. You know, always wanted, you know, to make sure that he was in control. He had the Elder Wand, for gosh sakes. I mean, you know, that's pretty damn powerful right there. And the fact that he would rather leave a baby in a home where he would be neglected. Like, he knew, Albus Dumbledore knew that Petunia and Vernon would not care for Harry. He knew that Harry would be neglected, he would be abused, he would be made to feel less than, he would be unloved. And he left him, and he chose to put him in that environment and keep him in that environment where you have Minerva McGonagall saying, are you sure that you want to leave Harry with these people? You know, they are the worst kinds of muggles. They're awful. They're horrible. They're horrendous. And so people saying, well, cut them some slack because, you know, we saw what, you know, having a Horcrux on did to Ron after, you know, a couple of months. What, you know, imagine, you know, how it was 11 years. No, the Dursleys were horrible before Harry. They're going to be awful after Harry. You know, so this whole thing with, you know, Dumbledore collecting people, he does. You know, he takes in the the half giant whose mother ran off and whose father is dead. And so he has no family. So he lets him live on the grounds and lets him teach and lets him keep the tip of his wand so he can perform basic, very basic magic. Now, just like with Sirius, as soon as it came out that Tom Riddle is Voldemort and Aragog was not the beast that killed that girl, that killed Moaning Myrtle, Dumbledore, again, could have been like, oh, hey, by the way, LOL, after all this time, I'm finally realizing the basilisk was real. And so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't Rubius Hagrid's, words, Jessica. It wasn't the spider that killed the peep that killed Myrtle. So Hagrid was innocent, so he shouldn't have been expelled. His wand shouldn't have been taken, you know. And instead, it's kind of like, well, you know what, Hagrid, I'm sorry. I'm not going to have your name cleared, but it's going to be for the greater good in the end. You'll see. Like, it'll all work out and all make sense in the end. Like, everything will be fine. Which is just complete bullshit. And he does it with Lupin. He's like, oh, so I'm going to give you the potion, you know, so your transformations aren't as awful. And here's this place where you can transform, where you'll be safe and you won't hurt yourself or hurt anybody. But by the way, you have to do XYZ for me. And then when Lupin comes back to teach Defense Against the Dark Arts, which he's probably would have been the best teacher ever for Defense Against the Dark Arts, you know, again, basically he's setting him up to fail. But again, it's for the greater good. You know, and how hard would that have to be for Lupin? Because he's sitting there staring at Harry every single day, seeing James and seeing Lily, seeing his two best friends who were murdered, and then also being reminded of the fact that he, to his knowledge, is the last one left from their group because, you know, Sirius told the Dark Lord where they were, and Peter Pettigrew went to save them, but Sirius killed him, and now Sirius is in Azkaban, and Peter Pettigrew is dead. So this whole entire time, for 13 years, Remus is alone, thinking three of his friends are dead, one of his friends is a murderer, and he's all by himself, doesn't know James and Lily's kid, you know, doesn't know him. You know, knows that Harry knows something about him, but always constantly being told it's for the greater good. It's for the greater good. And I wonder how Dumbledore convinced Remus Lupin to go and teach at Hogwarts. Did he basically guilt him into it? And be like, well, you know, if you come teach at Hogwarts, it'll really give Harry a chance to know more about his parents and what they were like in school and, you know, all this stuff. And it'd really be great for him. And, like, did he guilt him into it? You know, like, you just wonder. Like, you know, Dumbledore is not the great, wonderful person that he's made out to be. And I'm sure some people might say I'm reaching with this and whatever. I mean, reread the books, like actually read the books and like read it with a mature adult mind, not like the mind of a kid reading the books, and you will see, or watch the movies. You don't even have to read the books to know this. You can watch the movies and get all of this information just the same. And then Severus. You know, Severus was a Death Eater, and the second that Severus learned that Voldemort was going to kill James and Lily Potter, he didn't care about James. He cared about Lily because of his obsession with her, which, you know, I don't know. This is a whole nother topic for a whole different episode because I can just go into a rant about him. But, you know, Dumbledore basically preys on Severus and says, well, if I help you, then you have to help me and you have to be a spy. And when Harry Potter comes to the school, you have to watch out for him and protect him. And he's like, no, I'm not going to protect him. And he's like, well, he has Lily's eyes, you know, as if that makes everything a-okay. And should Snape have treated Harry so awfully because of his father? No, of course. course not. It's not his fault what his dad did. You know, do I think Harry should have listened to Snape a little bit more when Harry's like, my father was a great man, and Snape is like, no, your father was a swine? Like, I think Snape knows a little bit better what went on in the 60s and 70s than you do, Harry, but, you know, weird flex because you weren't there, but okay. You know, but Dumbledore guilts people into doing things. You know, he guilts them into doing things and makes them feel bad and makes them feel like it was their idea to do it. Like, he makes them feel like it was their idea to do these things. And if you get seriously injured or if you die, then, oh, well, that's just what happens. And it's for the greater good and you will somehow be remembered. So, and that's my, this is a shorter episode, but this is my little rant about that. If you have any other, like, fan theories or anything, please let me know. I'd love to discuss them. Like, any headcanons you have or anything like that. Like, I would love to discuss them with you. There's another one that it's kind of ties into this, but I might do it the next episode because it would make this episode way too long. This is going to be a short episode, like a 16-minute episode. But I just kind of wanted to talk about this subject, get something up. So let me know what you guys think. I'd be really interested to hear your ideas on this. And until the next episode, I will talk to you guys all soon. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Potter's Minds. I hope that you guys enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. If you did enjoy it, please be sure to leave a rating and review on iTunes. And also, please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss another episode. If you want to connect with me further, please feel free to follow me on Instagram @peanut_jessica92. Talk to you guys soon.